yesterday we were learning about the difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. We were learning what are the differences between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. I have over here a little sefer. I had this already over a year. I think it cost $3, maybe more. I remember someone told this to someone a year ago. I don't know how I got into this conversation. And he told me that you know someone, and maybe you people know Rabbi Dov Kramer. Does anyone know who he is, Rabbi Dov Kramer?
No, I think he's... the only Dov Kramer I know of is a radio engineer.
Yes, that's him. He's a radio engineer. He's a Bucky in sports.
He's been on WFAN for many years.
Okay, that's him. Yes, that's him. He's a Bucky Muflug in sports. He's a very big personality. So it's not Talmud Chacham. He wrote a little book, a little country to get on Amazon for $3. Someone told this to me. What's this all about? Oh, here it is. Here, I didn't realize about the author. Dov Kramer has written a widely circulated, well-received weekly Devar Torah for 15 years, known by New York sports fans as Davening Dov. You know him? I have never heard of him.
Yeah.
Because
he's on FAN. Yeah, he's been written about a number of times.
Okay, so this is him. So he wrote this little, what is this about? He did thorough research on a very interesting question I never heard of. I never heard of this question. Okay, Rabbi Yisar. Okay, Mark. Okay, there's a whole sefer here, a whole little, it's thoroughly about the question. What is the question? Is it this week's parasha? Or it's next week's parasha. I think it's next week's parasha. Is it Devarim Tests? Next week's parasha. Right next week, or maybe Akev? I don't know which parasha. It's not this week. It's Akev, I think, right? Akev? Or maybe Veschanan? Questions as follows. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim to receive the Luchas, I'm going to try to connect this to Tisha B'Av, to the Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni. Just trust me, hold off for a second till we get to what it's relevant for. The question is, Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim. It's a very interesting question. It's a fascinating contradiction in the Torah. Moshe went to Shemayim to receive the Torah. When Moshe was in Shemayim, he was informed by Hashem, Lech Reid, Ki Shiches Amecha. Your people have become corrupt. They have worshipped the Egel. I'll actually just read the words inside because it's mamish. Lech reid, ki shiches amecha asher he'elisa me'eretz Mitzrayim. Saru maher menaderech asher tzivisim osu lohem egel ma'aseicha v'yishtachavu lo v'yadad v'yizbuchu lo v'yoymu eile elohecha yishol asher ha'elucha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Then Hashem goes on. Let go of me. Moshe, let go. Moshe said, I'm not touching. When did I ever touch you? Let go, Moshe.
A little different from let my people go.
Let go, which Chazal, in fact, learned from this pasuk that Hashem was basically indirectly asking Moshe, you should be holding on to me. Moshe, how come you're not grabbing me? Hanichali, v'yichar api bohem v'achalein v'ese oischa, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people, I'm going to make you l'goy godol. And then begins the tiny sibur. V'yichal Moshe. Okay, Moshe begins to pray. Moshe takes the hint. Es p'nei Hashem elokav, v'yoyim elom ha-Hashem yechad abcha b'yamecha, asher otzei sami eretz Mitzrayim, b'yoyim Mitzrayim, b'koyach godol v'yodcha azaka, V'chulu, Lama, we the words over here. Lama, Yomer Mitzrayim, Lema, Berocha, Yitzimahar Gosh, Lameherim L'chalasim Yalpni Adama, Shuv Meicharin Abech V'nechem Al Harol Yamecha. Zuchor Li Avraham, Li Yitzchak, Uli Yisrael Avodecha. Asher, Nishpat Luchem Boch, V'atabar Lehem Arbe Zarchem V'kachav Yashmayim V'chol Aretz K'kachav Yashmayim. And then it's v'nochlu li'olam, and then it comes the key words. Vayinochem Hashem al horo'o asher diber la'asoy slamo. Hashem relented. The next pasuk, Vayifen Vayered Moshe min Hahar. Moshe, he turned and he descended the mountain. Ushne luchois ha'edus biyado. The pasuk could not be more explicit. There is no room to deviate. There is no drushia. You can't manipulate this pasuk. Moshe was mispalel to save the Jewish people before he broke the luchos. There's nothing to talk about. It's explicit. It cannot be more clear. Moshe is in Shemayim. Hashem is teaching him the Torah. Hashem says to Moshe, I got bad news. You know what's going on right now? They're worshiping the eagle. And I'm going to destroy them. Moshe, on the spot, Hashem, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have to have rachmanis upon them. Zuchor li Avraham. Hashem says, Mocholoch. Mocholoch. Vayinochem Hashem. Al hara. And then, Moshe takes the luchos and begins to descend. So Hashem already forgave the Jews. Hashem already said, Vayinochem Hashem al hara, before Moshe descends with the two luchos in his hands. Then he descends, he comes down to the bottom of the mountain, he sees the eagle, he smashes the luchos. And then what happens next? He goes up to Hashem for another 80 days. Okay, let's look how the story is related in detail in Parshas Ekev. I believe it's Parshas Ekev. In Periktes, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's Parshas Veschanan. Okay, in Chumash Devarim. Same exact story. So let me read the Pesukim. Moshe is telling the Jewish people what exactly happened. Let's review the story. Vayihi Miketz, it was at the end of the first 40 days. Miketz, Arboim Yoyim, Arboim Laila, Nos Nashem Elayes, Hashem gave to me a Shnei Luchois Havonim. Luchois Habris. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Kum Reid! Get up and descend. Maher Mizeh. Ki Shiches Amecha. Telling the same story. Shiches Amecha Asher Yitzesam in Mitzrayim. Saru Maher Menaderech Asher Tzivisim. Osu Lohem Masecha. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Leymar Re'isi Esam Azev Yinei Amkish She'orefu Heref Bimene Vashvim. I'm going to destroy them. And now what does it say? Moshe is not mispalel. There is no mention of Moshe praying to Hashem. Vo'eifen, vo'eireid, minahar. Immediately, without delay, Moshe descends. V'hohar bo'er bo'eishu shnei luchois habris al shtei yodoi. And Moshe descends. Pasuk goes on, vo espois, he comes down the mountain, b'shnei luchois, vo ashlichem yal yishtei yodoi, vo ashabereim le'inechem, I destroyed it. Moshe first destroys the luchos. Then, the pasuk says, afterwards, vo esnapal lifnei Hashem kori shayna arboim yoyim v'arboim loyma, Lechem lo yechalti maim lo yishasisi, al kol chatas chem asher chatasem lasois, hoda v'yini Hashem lachiso. I then began to pray, and he tells you the prayer. Vo esnapal lefnei Hashem, es arboim hayoim v'es arboim alo asher esnapalti. This is explicit. The second 40 days, I fell before Hashem, ki omar Hashem lahashm neschem. And what did I do during the second 40 days? He repeats the prayer, word for word. Not exactly word for word, but pretty close. It's explicit beyond a shadow of a doubt in Chumash Devarim that the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu, Zichor li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yaakov, took place after he shattered the luchos. So there is a blatant, open contradiction between what it says in Parashas Kisisa and what it says in Chumash Devarim. In both Chumashim, Moshe is telling us, well, first it's in real time, is what's going on, and then there is the review, and you can't wiggle out of this, because it is so blatantly explicit, that in Chumash, in Parashas Kisisa, Moshe was mispalel to Hashem before he shattered the luchas. Vayinochem Hashem al harash adibir lasos li'amo, before he shattered the luchas. In Chumash Devarim, when we relate exactly the same story, first, Moshe shatters the luchas, he comes down, Hashem says, get out of here, lechrei, he comes down, he sees what's going on, he shatters the luchas, and then he goes up for the second 40 days, and he begs Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael, and he recites the same Nusach Kemat, word for word, as is found in Parashas Kisisa, but it's there in Parashas Chumash Devarim, it is clear as day that the prayer was said during the second 40 days. Haloi Davar. Okay? A whole sefer, a whole kuntras. Get on Amazon. He published this in, you know, Amazon. You can make your own books. Desktop publishing or PDF, you can make a little sefer. Dov Kramer, the davening dove. We think you have a dentist dove. We have a davening dove. Davening dove versus dentist dove. What's the pshat? Who asked this question? The Ibn Ezra and the Ramban. They asked this question. He's not the first one to ask this question. The Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, and probably a lot more, many Rishonim, and they all, the Ramban especially, to try to find the solution to this question. I didn't read this so quickly, I just want to bring up a point, I want to tell you an idea. And I read it, but not way too quickly to really absorb all the Pratim L'chol Perotah. The Ibn Ezra and the Ramban asked this question, and they really sweat. They sweat it out. My high.
Barbanel didn't sweat it.
He quotes the Barbanel also. What's going on? And basically, the gist of what I'm getting by reading it super, super duper fast, just glancing over it, is you have no choice but to say that there were two tefillas.
Right.
You really can't be a lamdan and say it's the same tefillah, because it says beferish. One tefillah was before, I mean, you can't ignore it, before he broke the luchas, and there was another tefillah after he broke the luchas. Oh, but it's the same tefillah. It's kemat the same tefillah. Not exactly. That's really part of the lamdash answer. Not exactly, but it's to just a superficial reading, it's the same tefillah. You have no choice but to say that Moshe Rabbeinu davened twice. And the question is, why did he need to daven twice? Why? If Hashem, Vayinochem Hashem al horo asher diber lasos liamo, so Hashem forgave them, he's not going to destroy them, he's not going to wipe out the Jewish people, so what's going on? So just... So basically what they say in a nutshell, it's totally inaccurate, and part of it is his ideas, there are two elements to Hashem's anger. Number one, there are two ways Hashem could destroy the Jewish people. Hashem could destroy the Jewish people on the spot. He can nuke them. Just like Sodom. How did Hashem destroy Sodom? He nuked them. Okay? Gofris Samelach Srefa Chalarza. Over. One moment. And then there's another way Hashem destroys people. He lets them just wither away. Just, you know, to
have enough rope to hang themselves.
To hang themselves, or they just, like, you know, they just disappear into the sunset.
Similarly.
They walk exactly. So Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was furious. Here it is, 40 days after I gave them the Torah. The chutzpah, a kala, is mezane in public, under the chuppah. The chutzpah, to worship the egel 40 days after I gave them the Torah, when Moshe and Shemayim, I'm going to nuke them. Plain pashat. I'm going to nuke them, and it's all over. when Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal to Hashem, please, all Moshe accomplished is Hashem says, I will not physically destroy them myself. I'll let them go. But they're not going into Eretz Yisrael. That is over. And I'll just let them wander in the desert until eventually they disappear. They're like the Indians. Whatever happened to the native Indians? America is the desert, was desert land. What happened to the Indians, the Native Americans? What happened to them?
They run casinos now.
Okay, they're very rich. You're saying they're very rich. Not all of them. Many of them, gone. I mean, you read up on the history, the culture that they had is unbelievable. Languages. They had these sophisticated languages. They had a whole world. An enormous amount of the culture of the American Indians is gone. Completely wiped off the face of the earth. Okay, there are survivors who have casinos and have...
I like to think they're all more stupid because of their names. One in beer, you have Svi, you have all these Svi, Wolves, and Wolf, you know, all these animal names that we have in Hebrew and Yiddish
yeah.
are the same like the Indians.
Okay, I remember reading an article, I think it was maybe in the New York Times a number of years ago, about a woman who went to interview this old lady. This you know, she's like 100 years old, an Indian, whatever, with the whole get-up, and she was basically dying. She was terminally ill, and the article was saying that when she dies,
that's it.
She knows a language that no one knows. There was an Indian language, a sophisticated, beautiful language that they developed, who knows, over how many years. No one in the world knows but her. She has, in her mind, a record of history, of events that happened, and she's now 100 years old. She's lucid, but she's terminally ill. She's about to die, and when she dies, gone. A whole world is going to go with her. The truth is, you can say that about every single person in this world. Okay, you go to the cemetery, you look at all the graves. I always told Mayor, every person in the cemetery has a story to tell you. Gone. It's okay. You can say about anyone. You can say about anyone.
I don't have enough time to listen.
Certainly don't. Okay, but Hashem Moshe after Moshe Rabbeinu. So the basic gist of what he's presenting as he tries to combine the ideas of the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, and again I'm being super duper oversimplistic, is indeed there were two prayers. You have no choice but to say there were two prayers. There was a prayer that Moshe recited. That was to hold off Hashem from instantly destroying physically the Jewish people. But that prayer was just enough to keep us alive, to buy us some time. Hashem was fed up with us, no longer had any plans to take us into Eretz Yisrael. He would let us live, and we would wander. We would wander the desert, be nomads. We'll be no different than the Native Americans. And eventually, at some point in time, in 50 years, 100 years, we would just dissipate, wither away. Yeah, there'll be a story in some encyclopedia about the Jewish people and their history, whoever will remember. And Hashem would start again and select a new leader, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, and to start all over to find a new patriarch to build for himself a new nation. After Moshe came down, destroyed the eagle, and punished the perpetrators of this horrific crime, Moshe went back to Shemayim in order to restore divine grace, part two, that Hashem should continue to proceed to guide his people and to take us back and to bring us into Eretz Yisrael and to continue with his original plan. And Moshe, once again, due to his greatness, succeeded. That's the basic gist of this book. Okay, so you take over here a story that's said in Chumash Shemos, Parshas Kisisa, and a story that's said in Chumash Devarim. It seems like we're discussing the same exact thing, but we're not. We're discussing two completely different parts of the story. there's a deliberate, massive omission that is, appears in Chumash Shemos. And in Chumash Devarim, we omit, Moshe completely omits that part of the story, and he focuses on information that was not revealed. And Chanami, not everything that happened in history is recorded in the Torah. There are massive gaps. It's not important. The Torah is only presenting what is relevant for us to know going forward. The Torah is not a history book. It is a book of instructions, and it's an incredible insight into learning Chumash, this idea, what the Ramban and what the Ibn Ezra say, and the way he explains it over here with all of its details, and he's a lot more than I just told you, is an incredible, in and of itself, is an incredible revelation of understanding how to learn Chumash.
Well, the whole Sefer Devarim is backstory. A lot of things that we never knew.
Never knew.
Devarim tells us,
right?
Gives us backstory.
Even though it's misleading, because you would think for sure that every single detail that is recited in Chumash Devarim is just repeating, especially in this context, this particular story of the Shviras Haluchos and of the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, if you don't pay attention to detail, it's just repeating the same thing that happened before. The Nusach HaTfilas came out the same. And he's coming here to prove to you, the Rishonim say this, it can't, mamish can't be the same tefillah, it just can't be. And now that you know it can be, when you take a look at the Nusach HaTfilah, wow, you know there are some glaring details, there are some differences. You know, in the first tefillah it says, Zohar li Avraham li Yitzhak uli Yisrael. I'll give you some teeny examples. And this, you know, he picks up a lot on these. Zohar, in the original prayer of Moshe before he came down the mountain, it says, Zohar la'Avraham li'Yitzchak u'li'Yisrael avodecha. In the prayer that appears in Chumash Devarim, it says, Zohar la'Avodecha. First he says la'Avodecha, and he says la'Avraham li'Yitzchak u'li'Yakov. He doesn't call them Yisrael anymore, he calls them Yaakov, and he puts the word avodecha first. These are small little details, but if we appreciate that it's a completely different prayer, it has the same template of concepts, zuchus avos, the word avodecha, but the location of how it's presented, and again, you look through it very carefully, it's different. In the second prayer, there's no mention of Mitzrayim whatsoever. In the first tefillah, Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim. In the second tefillah, who's talking about Mitzrayim? It's not even mentioning Mitzrayim. Okay, so this is a very beautiful idea. I never knew this kasha. I never noticed this difference. I never heard of this kasha. I remember last year someone told, maybe you know who told this to me, Dr. Feinstone. He's an eye doctor. What? Yaakov Feinstone? He's an eye doctor. Okay, he's an eye doctor, and I don't know, he got in this comment, and he told me, you told me you got to read this book, he told me about this person, on a sports expert, Davening Dove, he was very excited about it, and he says, you get it on Amazon for $2-3, so I talked to him, it's Shabbos, I punched in, it came last year, it's sitting around, I was looking through my Sfarim a couple of days ago. Oh, I never got around to read this. It came in the mail. I put it on the shelf. I never looked at it. And I looked at it. Fascinating. He reminded me of the kasha. It's a fascinating kasha with a very fascinating answer. It opens up a whole new insight. Fine. Now, I want to just take this a little bit further, and relate it to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And I don't have a clarity what I want to say. Just throw out some ideas with you. We all know that there were two luchos, but no, by the way, you know, it's interesting, the luchos, the way the luchos are presented, and this itself is also very mysterious, is that when we talk about the luchos, it doesn't indicate, we know that the luchos rishonos, the luchos shnios, and the luchos, there are major differences. In fact, there are 22 blatant differences between the luchos rishonos and the luchos shnios, the way they're presented in Yisro versus where they're presented in Voeschanan. 22 major differences. Now when you read the Psukim, it doesn't seem to say in Chumash Devarim, unless I'm mistaken, that the Luchos, these are the second Luchos. The way the Psukim read, it almost makes you think that these are the first Luchos.
It says Harishonim.
It says Beferish?
Yeah, it says Beferish. God saying to Moshe.
But when,
the problem is not, you know, a lot of times when a company finds itself with a lot of problems, so they reconstruct the entire, you know, focal point and change some rules. God says, I'm giving you the same rules. The problem wasn't with what it says in the Torah. The problem is you. So I'm giving you the exact same words. The luchos rishonos are the same as the second luchos. You have to listen to what it says and you won't have a problem.
Okay.
It's the same. All right, so, the words are the same.
There are two luchos. There are two toichachos. There's the toichach on Chumash in Parshas Kisava and there's the toichach on Parshas Bechukosai. What is the difference?
The question, which are the real ones? And the Gemara says, you're kidding me, right?
They're both real.
The Gemara asked that question, and it says, which were the right ones, the first ones or the second one? And the Gemara says, you're joking, right?
Okay.
The first one.
So we add the Teichacha. There's a double Teichacha. Teichacha of Parashas Bechukosai and the Teichacha of Moshe Rabbeinu Parashas Kisavu. So what is the difference? So this is well, this is already discussed all in the Mefarshim. The Teichacha of Chumash, Vayikra of Bechukosai is the Teicha of the Bayis Rishon. Shape up or ship out. If you don't do Teshuvah during the Tekuf of the Bayis Rishon, then there's going to be a Churban Bayis Rishon. The Teicha of the Parashas Kisavai is a warning to, if you don't do Teshuvah, there will be a Churban Bayis Sheni. They're both prophecies of time periods of Jewish history. One is the Bayis Rishon, one is the Bayis Sheni. And when you read the Psukim, it's clear as day. In the Teich of Chumash, of Bechukosai, it's all about Shemitah. All about, you're not going to observe the Shemitah, Meshav Soha Oretz, and then there'll be a Churban, and the 70 years will correspond to the 7 Shemitahs that were bottled. It's all about a Tekufa when Klal Yisrael was living in Eretz Yisrael and there was the observance of Shemitah was in effect, Doraisa with Yovel, and the whole Nusach clearly describes a Tekufa of Jewish history that is consistent with Klal Yisrael at the time of the Bayis Rishon. The Teuchecha of Kisavai makes no mention of Shemitah and Yovel because there was no Shemitah and Yovel during the time of the Bayis Sheni, because only not a Daraisa, when most of the Jewish people did not return to the land, and the majority of the Jewish people did not return to the land, the laws of Shemitah are not necessarily Daraisa. There's no Yovel, and there, okay, I don't remember the other sefer that I have, it shows you explicitly how all of the psukim, many of the psukim in Kisava refer to the Bayis Sheni. So you see a concept of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, I want to use it as an anchor. Chumash Devarim, the thrust of Chumash Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu talking to the Jewish people, Bayis Sheni, Tekuf of Bayis Sheni. The first 4 Chumashim, or from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu becomes our leader, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then he starts giving us Musar, you better behave yourself. He's talking to us through the events up until the Churban Bayis Rishon. Chumash Devarim, Eile HaDevarim, Asher Dibe Moshe. Who is Moshe talking to? He's talking to Klal Yisrael from the beginning of the Tekuv of the Bayis Sheni until Yimais HaMashiach. It's not just Mishneh Torah, of course, Ayin Panim Torah. It's not just Mishneh Torah. There is, it's a different time period. Moshe is looking at Klal Yisrael and addressing them. You know, you're going to have great, great, great grandchildren. They're going to live in the time of the Bayis Sheni. Let me give over a message. Let's review the fundamentals. But let us nuance the mitzvahs, the Torah, the Musar to the generations that will exist from the beginning of the Bayis Sheni until Yimais HaMashiach. We got to do this all over again because it's a completely different generation. Okay? Until Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Klal Yisrael from his generation until the conclusion of the Tekufa, the Churban Bayis Rishon. It's a different world. It's a world of prophecy, Nevi'im. It's a world where there's a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. It's a different world. Okay, many people have a problem relating to their own grandchildren. Mark, do you know how to operate all of the gadgets that your grandchildren have? So most people have a hard time relating. They don't even know the language of their grandchildren. They're talking English. They say words. What did you say? It's awesome. Awesome. When you grew up, awesome meant it's the Yom Hadin, the days of awe. Oh, it's awesome. Whoa, what does that mean? Okay, most people can't even relate to their own grandchildren. So can you deal with the generation of the Bayis Sheni versus the generation, the Tekuv of the Bayis Rishon? It's a different world. Mamish, a different world. Moshe, Mishneh Torah, it's not just Chazar. You want to do Chazar? So start again. Go to Bereshit and start again. Do Chazar. No. There's a different focus. It's the same Yesoidos, but the Yesoidos, hafeichba, you have to nuance it for a different time. A time of the Bayis Sheni where the Shechina is not resting in the Mikdash with that intensity that exists in the Bayis Rishon. A time when Klal Yisrael are going to be in Golus all over the world. A time where you're going to have to go deal with the challenges of technology. A time when you have to deal with the challenges of the Christians, of the Muslims, and a world where we're not just mishubut to one malchus, we're mishubut to every malchus in the world. That's also one of the differences in the first one pointed out, the difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. During the Bayis Rishon, during the dark times, we were only subjugated to one malchus. Today, the Jewish people are subjugated to the entire world. The Jews are subject to the goodwill of America and to the European Union and to Russia and to the Arabs and to Australia. The Jews, they're under the authority of the whole world, not just one nation. If you're under one nation, so know your enemy. Know your enemy, know your enemy's vulnerabilities, and you can deal with one enemy. But when you got to deal with a bunch of chalerias all over the place, it's a whole different battle. Moshe Rabbeinu is nuancing his Musar. He's taking Chamishichon, all the Tayag mitzvahs. He's reviewing them with a different focus on a different time period. Now, with that Hakdama, I'm trying to suggest is, there are two types of demolitions. There is a controlled demolition, and then there is a violent, unexpected demolition. You ever see World Trade Center number 7 go down? There's no one in the world is able to explain that today. No one could explain that today. Twin Towers, okay? Planes crashed into the Twin Towers, and somehow jet fuel, they tell us, that jet fuel is so... I have a friend who's a demolition expert. He works in demolition, the real deal. He told me jet fuel, you can't even imagine the koyach of jet fuel. And the jet fuel is what took down the World Trade Center. Im kabolahi nekaba. What about World Trade... I said, what about the building number 7? 57-story building? That was ironclad. It just went down perfectly went down. Why? No, there were no airplanes that crashed into it. No one. I don't want you to accuse me of being a conspiracy theorist. There's something called controlled demolition. Go on YouTube, then you can watch a lot of videos how they show you how experts in the industry of demolition can safely take down a building by putting certain types of very unique explosives. Dynamite wouldn't do it. When it comes to steel, you need certain types of explosives that can, a controlled demolition. delicate, tremendous chokhmah that goes into this. I want to suggest to you that the Churban Bayis Rishon was a controlled demolition. The Churban Bayis Sheni was a chaotic, unexpected, violent Churban that no one saw coming. It was just an outrage. It was an expression of fury. Boom, and the Bayis Sheni came down. Where is the control? Moshe Rabbeinu, what is the root? Everything in this world is an echo of something which happened previously. Maisa of a similar banim. Without a shadow of a doubt, and all the Farshim will tell you, the Churban Bayis Rishon is rooted in the Shviras HaLuchas. The first Churban in this world, what are the Luchas? The HaLuchas Maasei Elokim Hema. The Luchas is the creation of Hashem. Maasei Elokim. It's not physical. The first Luchas. And the Michtav Elokim. It's totally spiritual. And Moshe destroys it. Are you talking? Can you even do that? Can you destroy something that's not even physical? The Luchas is something that is spiritual. The physical matter is not stone. It says, V'ha Luchas Maasei Elokim Hema. V'ha Michtav is a Michtav Elokim. And Moshe destroys it? Is it Shaykh to destroy? Well, I guess so. Moshe shattered the Luchas, whatever that means. He shattered the Luchas. The second lucha is a little bit different. Psol lucha. Okay, the choymer is stone, quarried stone, physical stone, that's what it says. But v'hamichtav was still the michtav elokim, lucha shnias. When the luchas are shattered, the koyach, churban is also a koyach from Hashem. The lucha is a spiritual, the greatest spiritual thing in this world is the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is not just bricks and stones, it's a makam of Kedusha. The root of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the Churban Beis HaMikdash is rooted in the Shaviras HaLuchas. The Luchas were destroyed. When Moshe destroyed the Luchas, this created in this world a koyach that the Beis HaMikdash can also be destroyed. Because the Beis HaMikdash is a place of spirituality. It's not really subject to the rules of nature. When Moshe destroyed the Luchas, there's a parallel. There's an echo in history going forward. The Mikdash can be destroyed. Before Moshe destroyed Shad of the Luchas, what did he do? He prayed to Hashem. Vayechal Moshe es pnei Hashem Elokav. If Moshe, you achieved, Vayinochem Hashem al, is one of the big questions that baffles everyone's mind, is if Moshe achieved Vayichal Moshe Espnei Hashem Elokav, and it concluded Vayinochem Hashem al Hora'o Asher Dibur La'asos Li'amo, success. This is a major success. So why are you shattering the Luchas? Why are you shattering it? If Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael, Vayinochem Hashem al Hora'o Asher Dibur La'asos Li'amo. Okay, forgiven, all forgiven. And then it says, Moshe takes the espois v'shneha, he took the two luchos, he takes them in his hands, and he goes down the mountain, and he shatters them. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Hashem already forgave them. Teretz is, the prayer was a prayer of a controlled demolition. It all goes together. Ribbono shel Olam, these people, you're right, they got big problems. And they don't deserve the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to destroy, they don't deserve the Luchas. But don't just destroy the Luchas on your terms. Don't just destroy them, period. We got to have a controlled demolition. The prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu before he broke the Luchas enabled, basically, that there should be a second set of Luchas. the prayer, if Moshe would have gone down the mountain right away and seen the Churban without Hashem first forgiving Klal Yisrael, Moshe would have destroyed the Luchos in a violent way. When there's a demolition, like Rachmanis what happened in Surfside, Florida, the building just collapsed, right? That wasn't a controlled demolition. That was a violent Churban. People got killed. Controlled demolition is no one's in the building. The area is completely, separated with red tape. No one go over here. And the building comes down perfectly flat. Doesn't tip over. Just like World Trade Number 7. No one died in that demolition. That is amazing. Not one person died in that in World Trade Center number. They cleared the neighborhood. There was no one in the building. Not one person died when World Trade Center building number 7 came down. And it came down perfectly straight. It didn't go to the side. No one got hurt. That's how the Luchos were broken. It was a controlled demolition. Who set up the explosives to make sure no one gets hurt? And it's done in a way that's proper. The tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayichal Moshe es pnei Hashem Elokav. That's the Shviras Haluchas. Then came the Shviras Haluchas. Then came a second prayer. Now here's where we're going to try to wax homiletic. The Shviras Haluchas also represents the Churban by Sheni. I want to go back. I didn't explain it correctly. When the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, it wasn't destroyed like that. It wasn't destroyed like that. There were Nevi'im telling Klal Yisrael, guess what? The Mikdash is going to be destroyed. It's going to be Shiloh all over again. You say this in the Nevi'im. The worst insult you can say to Klal Yisrael, the worst thing you can say below the belt, is to say, it's going to be Shiloh all over again. No one ever imagined Shiloh after 369 years, a makom of Hashuras Hashchina can just be destroyed. Impossible. And it happened. It was the utter shock in Klal Yisrael that Shiloh can be destroyed. To go say that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be like Shiloh, and the Nevi'im said this to the people, and when they heard when they heard everything the Nevi'im said, they okay, yeah. And when they said it's going to be Shiloh all over again, it's like saying the Holocaust all over again. No one today would tolerate such talk. Someone would say something like that, oh, it's going to be a Holocaust, 600 people. Someone would say that today, they would shoot them on the spot. You don't talk like that. That's not acceptable to talk like that. Well, when the Nevi'im said it's going to be Shiloh all over again, that's Bamish, what's equivalent to saying it's going to be the Holocaust all over again. Impossible. Well, guess what? The Nevi'im said it. They told him it's going to happen. The Nevi'im said it. And they prepared Klal Yisrael for it. It was a controlled demolition. The Nevi'im giving Musar to Klal Yisrael is equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu davening Vayichal Moshe es pnei Hashem Elokav before Moshe comes down to shatter the Luchos. He comes down to shatter the Luchos, Churban Bayis Rishon. But it was preceded with years and years and years of Nevi'im telling Klal Yisrael, get ready. The Chodesh V'Hamasker, controlled demolition. They already went out to Bavel. They set up shops. They even had pizza shops with a lot of hechsherim, because not everyone likes everyone's hechsher. They already had everything they needed ready to go in Bavel, all ready to go, yeshivos, moistos, even people, collectors, were roaming the streets. The full picture of Klal Yisrael was already ready to go because it was a controlled demolition. But the Shviras Haluchos also represents a violent, unexpected Churban. There are two dimensions in the Shviras Haluchos. And then what happens when there's an uncontrolled demolition? We're in a lot of trouble. We need to fight for our lives. We have to find survivors. We need to rebuild. We need to reflect. That is Moshe Rabbeinu's second tefillah. That's the second tefillah. That's us today. That's us. The first tefillah was the tefillah before the Churban, was leading up to the Bayis, the Churban Bayis Rishon. The second tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu is when Moshe Rabbeinu is begging Hashem that we should survive after the Churban Bayis Sheni. See, the first tefillah, we would survive. Wouldn't be so. When the demolition is controlled, no one gets hurt. Controlled demolition. Okay. Everyone comes to watch the spectacle. The building comes down. You clean it up. And now what do? We make a parking lot. You build a new building over there. You go weiter. Moshe Rabbeinu was misfiled. You're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. There should be the Chodosh v'Hamasker. They'll go to Bavel. Talmud de Bavel. There should be a plan. Okay. But what about the Bayis Sheni? When the Bayis Sheni was destroyed, we're not prepared for that. We were not prepared for that. There was a lot of fighting and a lot of terrible things that are going on. But Klal Yisrael was unprepared to live, to deal, to survive after the Churban Bayis Sheni. How are we going to survive now in the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, when there was basically no preparation put into motion to survive? What are we going to do now? That's the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu after, in Chumash Devarim, when Moshe with a snapel, and the like, give him a diagram, a snapel, if Hashem with my boy, I'm your boy, Laila, ki omar Hashem lahashman eschem, after the Chumash Sheni. And Moshe over here is being misfired. Al tashches amcha v'nachalos chasher podisim begod lecha. Asher, he does mention Mitzrayim. I made a mistake. He does mention Mitzrayim over here. Asher, I'd say some, but there's a much less of an emphasis. Much less. Mitzrayim b'yad chazaka. Zechor la'avodecha la'avacham litzak li'yakav. Over here, we're not called Yisrael anymore. This already is the Bayit, after the Bayit Sheni, we're in the lower Madrega. Al Tefen, L'Kshem, Zavil, Shavil, Chavaso, Pen Yom Ruch Ha'aretz, Asher Ha'itzeh, Sadim Misham. Don't let the people, it's Israel, you can say over here, don't let the nations that you took them out from there, which from what's there? From Eretz Yisrael. Here, does it going back on Mitzrayim? Who says the Pshat and the Pasuk in Chumash Devarim is referring to? You read it similarly, you're going back on Mitzrayim. Pen Yom Ruch Ha'aretz, Asher Hoitzei Sanu Misham. What's Misham mean? So Pashab Shah, you'll say it's going back on Mitzrayim. Who says? It doesn't say Mitzrayim. It says the people, Klal Yisrael is a nation. We say Yizeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim. Al Tashches Amcha V'Nachlos Chasher Podisa Begolach Asher Hoitzei Samir Mitzrayim Yod Chazaka. Yeah, back in the day, Klal Yisrael is defined as a nation of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But now when he goes and he's Mvakesh Zuchosavis, Zuchar, La'avodecha, La'avraham, L'yitzchak, L'yakov, Al-Tev, L'kashim, Zavil, 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 Pen Yom Ruch Ha'aretz, the people who live in the world. Okay. Asher hoitzei sanu misham mibli yicholis Hashem la'aviyam el ha'aretz, Asher diber lohem. You were not able to bring them to live. This goes back to the time of the Bayis Sheni. We returned to the time of the Bayis Sheni. We were there for 420 years, and we were never really able to hold on to the land. What midbar? The midbar of the world. The world is the big midbar. The Haman here is something that it says, something very beautiful that it says only in the tefillah of Chumash Devarim and not in Bichu Kaisai. The Haim Klal Yisrael is Amicha v'nachalosecha. Asher ho'itzeisa b'choychacha hagadol u'vizroyacha hanetuya. It doesn't say this pasuk anywhere in the first, this idea that your people, they are your nation. There is a unique chiba that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael in our era that it doesn't say he had for us in the Tekufa post the Chorban or leading up to the Chorban Bayis Rishon. If you want to say that this idea is, we know for a fact that Chumash Devarim definitely refers to Bayis Sheni, the Teichacha, that's the climax. And Vayikra is referring to the Bayis Rishon. And we know now from the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban that they were two completely separate tefilos. And we know that the Shviras Haluchos, it is the source of the Churban, the Makar of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's the Makar. And before the Churban Beis, the Shviras Haluchos, there was a prayer, and after there was a prayer. Before the Churban Bayis Rishon, there were Nevi'im that were preparing us for this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 11 years before the Churban, exiled the Talmidei Chacham Yehoyachin, Gols Yehoyachin, to prepare us. There was a lot of preparation. A tefillah before Nevi'im, the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu was a tefillah that the Churban Bayis Rishon should be a controlled demolition, so we can live another day. But the tefillah that comes after the Shviras HaLuchos is when we superimpose upon the Luchos, that same Shviras HaLuchos, the Churban Bayis Sheni, for which there was no preparation. It just accelerated, got out of hand, and it just got out of hand. They had enough food there to survive for 21 years. The Gemara says there were three Gevirim, three wealthy people that they had plenty, they could survive, they could have outlived all of the Romans. And just things got way out of hand, accelerated very quickly, and there was an unexpected, shocking Churban that no one ever expected. Look at the Kin of Titus, and it says the people, they looked in that Kin, it says how the people looked on in disbelief that something like this can happen, that a Rasha can walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the women that were looking, it was a shock. This can't happen. This can't happen. The Bayis Rishon, it could happen. How do you know it could happen? Because they've been told for 200 years, it's going to happen. Every one of the Nevi'im, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Get ready. It would already, it was a shock. And when something like this happens, what do you do now? What do you do now? We're not prepared for this. We're not going to survive this. It's not a controlled demolition. When there's a controlled demolition, you have all the dump trucks ready to go to clean up the mess. And you have the architect ready to go to build a new building. And no one gets hurt. Everyone is just a tragedy of a collapse. What do you do now? Insurance is not going to pay for this. What are we going to do now? How are we going to survive now? Moshe Rabbeinu says, I got you back. After the Shviras HaLuchos, we're going to look now in Chumash Devarim at the Shviras HaLuchos from the perspective of the Bayis Sheni. And there was no preparation for this. And now you're in trouble. V'esnapal lifnei Hashem arboim yoim v'arboim loyla. And I said, Zichor la'avodecha. La'avraham liyitzak uliyakov, v'heim amicha v'nachalosicha asher padisa b'chaychacha ha'gadol v'zrayacha ha'netuyah asher sheitzeisa b'chaychacha milo v'nachal zrayacha ha'netuyah. There are two tefillos. One is a tefillah before the Bayis Rishon, and one is a tefillah, our nevuah, for Klal Yisrael after the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Rishon was a controlled demolition. The Churban Bayis Sheni was a violent, chaotic Churban in which Moshe Rabbeinu got our back. And we live today in the zechus, in the glow of the koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu, who told us, don't worry. Zechor la'avraham, li'yitzchak, u'li'yakov, Hashem will take care of you, because you, Klal Yisrael, are Hashem's Am and Nachla. Have a wonderful day.
Hashem, you're out there.